This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
You're listening to the Sherlock's Podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team Podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week I'm joined by Lou Huff and Nana Achiampong. Welcome both.
Hello.
Hi. Slight, if you're watching this, you will notice that we're in a slightly different setup to normal. Quite excitingly, the podcast studio is having a bit of a revamp, yeah. And it's going to be back and glossier and better than ever. So in the meantime, we're upstairs in our studio, but I'm quite into this setup.
Yeah, me too.
It's quite nice
as well.
I know. I feel like you've got your phones, you've got the drinks, yeah. The papers. Good to go. We should say also this is coinciding with a little bit of a shake-up in the team podcast. So you're going to see a couple of changes. We know that everybody loves the format, and so we're not taking away from basically hanging out with the team. But a little bit more structure, a little less of us, more airtime for those of us who are here. Yeah. So how nice to just be the three of us.
So nice. Well, we also haven't had this trio yet on the pod.
No, we haven't
Nice. We're going to start, as I say, a little bit more structure. We're going to start with what's new and what's noteworthy, which is a little bit like things we love on the show. We're going to run through the things we're loving right now. Lou, yes. We were just in Paris for the weekend.
We were in Paris. Our husbands were running the marathon, and we thought we'd go and join and have a shoot weekend. I thought it was going to be a little bit more chill out hang time for us.
I told you, it's not fun. It's not fun.
It was all about the boys.
Yeah. It's really fun. Like, it's more fun being there all together than a normal marathon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And obviously, it's really lovely all being together, but it's not the same as being on, like, a girls'
holiday. In my head, I think I thought that, like, yeah, me and Polly would, like, go for lunch, we'd go shopping, the boys would do the thing, and then we'd be like, see you at the finish line.
Yeah,
that did not happen.
It was not that.
Did you follow them round the whole thing?
Yes, or? But we all followed them round, but they were all at different start times. Yeah. Ben started 2 hours before the other boys, so it was just a bit of a mess, but also the day before is a lot of carb loading and a lot of visiting the expo to get your number, and it's just like it's quite intense.
But the time we did get to hang out was all
we had a lovely time.
Yeah. And the thing I wanted to talk about was we were staying in Hotel La Fantaisie, which is in the 9th. And it was so beautiful.
Looked exquisite from your Instagram stories. That pool,
my God. I feel so hard done by that I did not realise that there was a proper spa downstairs.
I didn't even go and look at it. I'm really annoyed with myself.
I know. Oh. So the boys went, the day before, there was like a cold pool, there's a hot pool, there was saunas, and they had a lovely time. But yeah, I forgot my swimmies, so I was really upset about that. So if you go, which you must, then take your swimmies. And there's an amazing roof terrace, a gorgeous like outside bar. It was quite vibrant. The weather was good when we were there. Yeah. It was 27 on Saturday. It felt like you were just on holiday having drinks outside. It was lovely.
But can you describe the interiors? Because that's what makes that hotel
so
special,
it's quite
right?
kind of, it's quite kitsch. Lots of kind of contrasting floral wallpapers, bright yellow, bright peaches, a lot of scallop. The most amazing scallop marble top at reception was stunning.
Yeah.
Even like the bedsides are all scallop. The colours are so you.
Yes, it's my aesthetic to a tea.
Yeah.
It's like the Broadwick in Soho.
Oh, okay, perfect.
It's designed by Martin Brodnitsky, who is like a very renowned designer, especially for that quite kind of. It's quite a camp, aesthetic.
But it's just so mood lifting. Like, as soon as you walk in, just immediately you're like, wow, I'm happy.
Yeah.
This is
stuff.
And
can't
also,
wait to stay here.
And it's so nice as well when you stay in a hotel and that is like a destination in itself.
Mm.
Really, really loved it. And a great, great location as well. That is key. It's like 10 minutes from Gardenaure. And we walked to a lovely restaurant for dinner and loads of kind of buzzy stuff going on.
Yeah, well, I love being able to walk in Paris.
Yeah. And it's so on one of those market streets.
Yeah.
So like everything else on the little street was, it's not pedestrianised, but it's sort of, it's like not many cars get down there. And when we walked back, wasn't it so lovely on Saturday night? It was just bars, like, there's little like fishmongers that turns into a bar and there's wine shops, and it's like a really lovely, I think especially if you're going in summer.
A really good place to stay. Yeah, so lovely. So yeah, that was like top of my list. I also, my little Lifner bag, which, so my husband bought this for me for my birthday and it was on pre-order. So I had to wait 3 months to get it, which I feel like in itself anyway, like, bigs it up. And I thought, God, is this going to like live up to the hype because I've waited so long? I am obsessed with it. The size is so perfect. So I've got the Sprout. There's a mini, there's a large. And if you, I mean, and you guys obviously know little Lifner, but it is such a good bag brand. Do so many amazing colors. I've got the dark chocolate brown. It's a perfect kind of little size, and I took it to Paris and it was, I was like carrying around all my daily essentials, like had my sunnies, had my passport, had a bottle of water, and it didn't feel it was like sprawling out of a tiny bag, but equally it wasn't like I was filling a big bag that was then overly heavy. So I'm loving that.
It feels very, the word we keep using, which is relevant.
Yes.
It feels very relevant.
Very relevant.
Very, it's like on trend, but it's not like trendy.
Yeah. No, exactly.
In like a you'll get bored of it way. It's very classic.
And it's also quite nice to have a bag that not everyone has.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a label on it.
Yeah.
It's not a designer.
It's cheap.
Yeah. It's 450 euros. So, it's a treat, but it's not like crazy like the four figure that design handbags are these days. So yeah, really love that.
I know. Talking lusting after the Chanel that I want in Paris. It's only available in Paris. You see, I put it on my Instagram. It's orange top handle with a Chanel plate that's also in rainbow.
And you and I, it's most me bag.
Yeah. It would really go with the top you're wearing now.
I know.
It would go with like everything in your order.
Yeah, it would go with everything. Planning my next trip to Paris to maybe get this bag.
Do you know what? The bag would go really well with the interiors of
Magazine
as well.
So I could just do a shoot.
You should try and encompass it.
Yeah, so nice.
What else are you loving me?
And then my final one, this is so random, but the last 6 weeks, my family has had a lot of illnesses. But yeah, it basically just feels like it's been a constant slog. I had pneumonia in the middle of it, and I just felt like either side of it. It's just
forgetting you had pneumonia.
I know, it's horrible. So because of that, we've been trying to eat as kind of healthily as and kind of nutritious food as much as possible. We all know I love Bulko white beans.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Obsessed. They are amazing. Obsessed. Anyway, I found a recipe for like a vegan ribollita. And it was a kind of a take on like the Tuscan kind of stew. And it's got these white beans in it, and the most amazing part of it is that, so you get half of your jar and you mash it into a paste and then you mix that through the sauce. So it makes it really creamy and thick. And then it's got cavolo nero, carrot, celery, tomatoes, sweet potato.
Oh my gosh,
and
it is healthy. Just,
and then like white potatoes as well. So it's again got that like extra creamy, stodgy. And you just, you feel like you're just getting like
all the goodness.
10 a day.
Yeah.
The weather has also been so shit.
Yeah.
It's a nice, cozy dinner with a bit of bread. Just so good. So anyway.
Also, I know you wouldn't do this, but Parmesan on top also like.
Lou would do that.
Delicious.
So yeah, I'll add the link. And I send this recipe around to so many people, and everyone that's tried it's like, no, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's good to know. Thanks.
What about you guys?
For me, I am loving all of the fashion exhibitions that are hitting London. So the first one that has already opened, Bieber retrospective, which is at the Fashion and Textiles Museum. Obviously Bieber, colour, print, like, it's all a bit of me, so I really can't wait to go and see that.
For those who don't, I feel like my knowledge of Bieber mostly comes from my mum. Like, for those who don't know
it's
what Bieber was.
1960s brand, Barbara Hickenelli. Yeah, I always pronounce the surname wrong. But yeah, founded the brand. She's just like a lover of fashion and dresses. So think of, I don't know, maybe kind of like what the hotel that you stayed in.
Mm.
Yeah, all of those kind of like amazing, gorgeous prints, the textiles, the kind of fringing, all of that. And it's just a look through the kind of like archive of all of those pieces.
It's kind of a Rixo meets Temple-y
now it would be.
I'd love to see how much of what we see today has been influenced by that, because they were such an original British fashion brand.
I feel like when you first decide you want to get to into fashion, you learn about Bieber and Mary Kwan.
Yeah, totally. And Twiggy.
Yeah,
yeah.
That
they're the foundation.
There's a Twiggy image with the lashes. Yeah, it's so true.
And
Carnaby Street.
Yeah, like the straight dresses with like circles on them. Yes. And you're like, wow, there's... Yes. I don't think I've referenced those that well until the point.
Yeah, until now.
Yeah.
British fashion starter pack.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those things was so right.
No, that is it. But yeah, quintessentially of the time. Yeah. So yeah, 1960s, 1970s, going through all of that.
What do you think your favourite era of fashion is?
Oh, I do like the 60s. I don't know if I would ever, like, I love kind of like mini dresses, the mini, the tunic, like all
the
of that.
Colours.
Yeah, all of the bright colours, go-go boots.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all of that. So, I might go straight there.
I think I'm 80s, but like Pretty Woman, Fran Drescher and the Nanny, like that aesthetic.
Yeah,
like that, the kind of Beverly Hills 80s.
Yeah.
You know, the gold
rush. Sock them up.
Exactly. Yeah. Chanel, Versace in that area.
Yeah. I should also do that. Yeah. Kind of Studio 54 as well.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Just go all the way through.
Yeah. That's the same every day.
Yeah.
What about you?
I didn't know, like, part of, I think growing up, it was like I was so kind of boho inspired, so I think more like 70s.
Yeah.
Like the flares, the denim, the pussy bow blouses, like all of that. I think, like, I love the, like, the spectacle of the 20s. Like, I love how everyone really had a uniform and, like, how chic and smart and, like,
the polish of it.
Polish and all. Yeah, I really love. But I think probably now, like, 90s.
I was going to say, you're a 90s Calvin Klein.
Yeah, I think that epitomises what my style is now, definitely.
Yeah.
So we have that conversation all day.
If anyone does want to go and see the Bieber exhibition, it is on until the 8th of September this year. Next one is open on the 22nd of June, and it is Naomi in Fashion, which is at the V&A, which I think is going to be absolutely incredible. Like, I cannot wait to see everything that's been curated and put in this exhibition.
So it's just a retrospective of
Her career. So all of her iconic moments, obviously when she fell down.
Yeah.
Including that, those shoes are in there. And
who's put it together?
It's Naomi herself.
Okay.
But I don't know who. I know she was partnering with someone, but I'm not sure who with to curate the whole thing together. But it's
With her, which
it's
is
with,
cool.
It's with her, which I think, she'll have stuff that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's going to end up in there, so
amazing.
It's the V&A do fashion exhibition.
Oh, the best. Oh my gosh, so, yeah. I know.
And can you book tickets for it now?
Yes, you can.
Okay,
so yeah, get onto the V&A.
Yeah, I have to see that.
Yeah. And then last exhibition, if we are not over Barbie,
which we are,
I am.
yeah, for one.
And Barbie Mania, there's a Barbie exhibition at the Design Museum, and that starts on the 5th of July. This year, but that's as much as it is about the film, like that's pieces in there, it's actually about the dolls. So if you want to know the whole history of Barbie, like the first ever Barbie and so on and so forth, this is the exhibition for you.
I actually do think that's quite interesting.
I do think it is, like, even stuff like the first black Barbie, the first disabled Barbie, I mean, the whole way that they have had to adapt, do think is a really interesting story.
And also, like, how Barbie has been such a kind of the beginning of culture, but also adapted for culture.
Yeah,
like,
it's
such a push pull.
So, strange timing. Like, why not do that when the film came out?
Maybe they only had the idea then. do it next year.
This is quite a big thing.
Jump on the Barbie bandwagon.
So that is everything on the exhibition.
Love that.
And then fashion news.
Big fashion news.
Victoria Beckham Times Mango, which I haven't seen any of the collection yet, but I do know it's a very big collection between us and everyone else.
Keep that to yourself.
It's launching on the 23rd of April, so not long, too long to wait. It coincides with Mango's 40th anniversary, which is this year as well. And I just think this is epic. I think it's a really good fit
as well. 40 years of Mango. Like, I want to see what Mango looked like 40 years
ago. Yeah, fascinating.
They did do, at the beginning of the year, they did a capsule collection that was, like, from their archives.
Okay.
It was very 90s.
Okay.
But yeah, 40 years ago, who knows?
Yeah, 40s, 80s.
Yeah, I want to see what that's like.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just really excited to see what this looks like.
When you say it feels like a really good fit, what does that mean to you?
I think the kind of tailoring, like Mango do tailoring really well. Mm. The dresses as well. Like, I think the campaign images that they've just put out on Instagram, it's a really nice kind of low V white dress and then a really nice white suit as well, which I think is classic V, but then also classic Mango as well. And obviously, yeah, launching in April, I think it's just going to be a really nice summer collection where you can get pieces for your holiday or any events that you've got coming up. And I think buying into designer, obviously some people are not going to be able to afford Victoria Beckham. This is a really good kind of like inroads, which is, I'm always such a huge fan of like celebrity and high street collaborations.
I also think she, like, there's been so much cynicism around her over the years, but she genuinely, I love her product. I love those collections. Yeah. And I think she is now so well respected that it might feel like a kind of celebrity name, but actually it's a true designer name.
A true fashion name, definitely.
Okay, exciting.
I'm so very excited about that. And then lastly, I wanted to talk about a show that I've been watching that I think has gone under the radar. It's a series called Kin that is available on BBC iPlayer. Series 1 and 2 are both out at the moment. And it is essentially a crime kind of drug family drama set in Ireland.
That sounds right up my street.
Series 1, I got absolutely hooked on. And it was one of those ones I just kind of like stumbled across.
Yeah.
And you're looking for something to watch. And then I was hooked after the first episode. And then, yeah, they've just released season 2 as well. Really great script. I can't recommend enough. It's addictive watching.
Okay, on iPlayer.
Yes, BBC iPlayer.
Well, I want to talk about two shows. Well, one's a show, one's a film.
Yes.
First of all, Palm Royale. I feel like in this office, we were really anticipating this show. This is an Apple TV show starring and produced by Kristen Wiig. As you've never seen her before, she is, you know, if you think of her in her kind of Bridesmaids era, she is playing the archetypal kind of Southern belle who is incredibly aspirational within the Palm Beach society of the 1970s. And it is a story kind of, you know, it's all about this. She's kind of this very scrappy character who's really trying to work her way up in this world to which she's kind of loosely associated but can't quite get in for various reasons. And, I mean, the story's good. It's not about the story.
Yeah.
The homes, the fashion, the settings, it's so beautiful. It's kind of, again, going back to all the colour that we keep referencing, it's like a Technicolor show. Yeah. Everything is so, it's so drenched in sunshine, which I think we're so deprived of here right now, that it feels like such a fun pick-me-up. You know, it's kind of dramatic, but it's not, you know, you're not going to be too kind of emotionally invested in it. It's got a really good cast that includes Ricky Martin.
I know. Who looks exactly the same.
Has not aged.
At all.
It's ridiculous.
He spends a lot of time without a stopwatch.
Yeah.
And, but he must be like 50.
He must be.
Yeah. Incredible.
He's actually good in it.
Yeah.
He's really good. Laura Dern is also in it. And Alison Janney. And Kaya Gerber's got a pops up every so often. Not that she's, you know, necessarily the acting pull in it, but it's just a fun, glamorous romp. And I'm loving Chris. I mean, she looks amazing.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, I sort of don't want to have to believe that everybody looks better with a tan. She looks better with a tan and I look better with a tan. So, you know,
she's giving me a good argument for that.
She really is. She really is, yeah. And the other thing is Scoop, the kind of, again, slightly hotly anticipated Netflix film about the process and the subsequent fallout that went into and behind the Emily Maitlis, Prince Andrew interview on Newsnight in 2019. So I'm sure you guys have seen the coverage around it because, I mean, what is most remarkable, and even having watched it remains most remarkable, is how they have transformed the actors into these characters. Rufus Sewell
as Prince Andrew.
Oh my God.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So my mum was watching it last night and I was like looking at him. I didn't know it was Rufus Sewell and I was like, recognise that person, yeah, but you really want to place it. I was trying to work it out. I was like, it's his nose, his eyes, it can't quite. And then it took me ages. I was like, it's Rufus.
It's mad.
That is amazing.
And you know what? There's one moment where they go in super tight on his eyes and his nose. And it's almost like, you know, on a quiz show where they merge two celebrity faces.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, all they've done is add you know, the makeup. But it could be Prince Andrew.
Yeah, it's
amazing. Anyway, it's incredible. And also, I quite fancy Rufus Sewell. So I feel like it's doing, like, weird things to me.
Yeah, like,
that's not right. I do not fancy that.
Prince Andrew, to be just saying.
I do not fancy that. Put that out into the open. And Gillian Anderson certainly looks a lot like and embodies Emily Maitland. She dresses a lot like her. Gillian Anderson's voice is so distinctive that I found that sort of took away from it. Yeah. It was quite hard to detach from that. Anyway, there in the cast, Billie Piper plays the booker, the producer on the show. Mm. And she really centres, the story is really centred around her, around, again, a slightly scrappy single mother who the kind of, you know, there's not a huge amount of backstory, but it's obviously to add a bit of drama. It's like setting her up as this girl who really wants to prove herself and really wants to, you know, find the good story. And she saw her suggestions keep being battered down by the rest of the team. Anyway, it's about how she manages to secure this interview. I saw something on The Telegraph, actually, which rang quite true as a viewer, which was that all the other people involved in getting that interview and securing the interview apparently are quite irritated with her, the real life version. And they're like, hang on a minute, there were some other people involved in this story. And it really does pitch it as a one woman success story. Yeah. Like, she did this brilliant thing, and it sort of gives it this sense of nobility. And it's like, and this is the point of Newsnight. Like, we are here to provide justice for the little people. And like, it's a little bit righteous in that regard. I suppose my biggest takeaway was more like, it's entertaining, but I was kind of like, I don't really know why the story needs to be told. I've seen the interview. I didn't really need to. I didn't really care what came.
I thought it was very rushed. Like, I think it would have been a good story because it's meant to be about the journalistic process and like how the interview was secured and things like that. But they made it. It was like it happened in like a couple of months or a week or something. It actually took a year.
Is that right? It felt like it happened in a week.
Yeah, it felt like it happened really quickly. And I don't, kind of the same thing that you were saying about Sam, obviously it's like, it's this one woman band. Like, I know having worked on like a newspaper, on a magazine, you're never just doing stuff like that on your own. So it would have actually been nice to see those other characters as well involved in the story. So I didn't love it because I just felt it felt really rushed to me, basically. But yeah, it was I think I was expecting more, basically.
Yeah, I assume they followed the transcript in the interview. It was only 5 years ago, so I don't know what happened. It's a bit like these COVID ones they keep making now as well. I'm like, I was there.
We're not that past it.
So I think you're totally right. It's supposed to be about the journalistic process, and you get a little glimpse of that.
Yeah.
And did I enjoy it overall? Yes, because it's sort of easy watching and it's quite interesting and the acting's good. But did it need to be made? Probably not.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next section, I want to ask you guys what you've been loving on Sherlux over the last week. What have you been enjoying across the whole spectrum of everything we've been
doing?
Georgie does keep saying that now she obviously is less involved with the day-to-day. She's like, I get to Friday, there's just so much to catch up.
There's
a lot of content. Yes.
Well, obviously, other than the fashion, which obviously I love, do you guys actually, I went through just the fashion landing page the other day and I was like, such good content.
Great.
Doing a contract to yourself.
Well done. Thank you. Obviously, I've spoken about being poorly, and along comes that with a strain of being tired. I feel like I'm perpetually tired. That probably also comes from having a baby.
I think that doesn't
matter. But we ran an article on what to do if you're tired of being tired, and I thought, tick. I think you often think it's your lifestyle, and obviously there's that, you know, late nights, you know, can't.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Whatever, but there is so much that it could be from within you. So whether that is hormone imbalance, stress, like there's so many other factors. And there's a quiz that you can take, which you answer like all these different questions about areas of your life, and then it will give you a summary of what potentially it thinks you need to focus on.
That's cool. What, the quiz is linked in the...
The quiz is linked in the article, so do take a look. I did mine this morning. Whether it is focusing on things that are going on in your lifestyle, how stressed you feel, how you rely on different food to kind of pick you up, where you are in your cycle. And I think it really made me realise, like, do you know what? I just don't stop enough.
Yeah.
And how much I think in a kind of busy day-to-day lives so you are just like running around like a headless chicken. And yeah. I think for me the biggest thing that affects my tiredness is stress. And one of the questions was like, do you find you're more awake as soon as you lie in bed? And that is me entirely. Like my brain just like hangs on. Even though my body is exhausted, my mind is exhausted, I just suddenly, it's almost like I've then got time to not do something else. So my brain gets overactive. I know that I need to take a bit more time for myself. If it's just like 5 minutes of breathing, someone once taught me a breathing technique where you cover one nostril with your finger and you breathe out, and then you close the other one and you breathe out, and it just like flows that breath through your head, mind, whenever.
So not, I don't get tired really, because I'm lucky, I sleep quite well, but my kind of my symptom of stress, anxiety, overexertion, whatever, is I find it very hard to breathe, and I have it quite consistently. And so I've been kind of trying, you know, work it. Unfortunately, what I keep finding is that there's like no quick fix for any of these things. Like you have to put in like the meditation time, the breathing time, all of these things. But the breathing exercise that I keep hearing about, and actually there's a really good Huberman Lab podcast, it's 2 hours long, but all about breathing techniques and how you can regulate your breathing. Because obviously, you know, we know from Wim Hof, from so many places, that breathing is basically everything, is it's called a sympathetic sigh. And you basically take one deep breath in through your nose, and then once you, even when you feel like you've filled your lungs as much as you can, you take another short sharp breath, and then you sigh the whole thing out, like I was actually looking on Sheer Lux today, and we wrote a feature on how to calm down from a panic attack. So slightly this wasn't kind of brought up on the Huberman podcast in relation to a panic attack, but they recommended that technique as well for that, because it basically tricks your body into thinking it's safe. It tricks your body into like, okay, you're calm, you're rested, there's no needy, because you're emitting that level of carbon dioxide with that deep sigh. It's quite scientific. So
When I was pregnant and I was doing hypnobirthing, preparing, and a lot of that is about your breathing techniques, and you breathe in for 4 and out for 8. And at the beginning, I really struggled to breathe out for 8. I just couldn't. And it's really something that you have to, like, if you're not used to doing it, you have to be trying to
exactly.
But almost like what you're saying, like, you know, you're looking for like a quick fix. There isn't. And I think really the answer is you're looking for something quick to cure something that's because you're running too, like you're running
too fast.
Exactly.
So true.
It's like
you have to put the work in.
And you need like time in order to help that. And it's almost like, it was almost like that realization of like, wow, okay, no, this can't be solved by like one tiny thing. Actually, it's like a combination of just slowing down.
It's one of those things, you need to make it a habit as
Totally.
Like it needs to be an everyday practice, and then it will just become normal. Like you say, there's no quick fix.
Do you struggle with tiredness?
No. I sleep really well. My boyfriend's always like, you sleep like you're dead. He was like, so I don't actually need like a lot of sleep. I only, I'd say, average like 5 or 6 hours. I think I have a really deep sleep. So it's really good. But then I also say the key to my success is naps. Like, I will nap on the tube. I will nap.
No, you don't.
I will, like, literally.
I'm always so scared of being mugged. Like, if I fall asleep, someone will just take my bag.
You miss your stop?
No, I'm like, I'm having a nap, but I'm fully aware of, like, I can listen and be like,
Know okay, so you're more like you're zoning out.
Yeah. Or is that sort of like half
sleep? Okay,
yeah,
okay,
exactly. Yeah. It's like a half sleep. And oh, that's if you see me with sunglasses on the tube, I'm probably asleep.
Okay. Oh my God.
Do you do that often?
Just if I'm tired.
Sure. Like, yeah, so the other day, Nala said she came back from a studio like way up north and just like took like 2 hours. And like, yeah. You're like, yeah. I was like, wow, so long. What do you do? She's like, I had a nap.
Yeah, I love this for you. Great.
I'm usually asleep before my head's like hit the pillow.
Do you do meditation?
Yeah, I do meditation. So my thing is I have an alarm clock. I don't have the alarm on my phone to wake me up. I don't touch my phone for probably like the first, I try to do it for the first hour, but it's probably so the first like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that 30 minutes is me either reading, doing some meditation, just having like my hot water and lemon.
Yeah.
But I just like the house is silent. Like.
Oh no, I need to, that is, yeah. I'm actually at the point where like I really need it because I keep reading. What do I do? Because I can't breathe.
Yeah,
and
that's
the answer.
The thing I struggle with is that I know the answer to this. Like, I know all these things. Mm. It's like finding the time to give it to yourself.
Well, you've got a baby as well. Yeah. That's hard.
And so. Do you know what? And someone said to me, like, now is just not the time for yourself. Mm. And I totally get that. But equally, I can't be like damaging to yourself.
No,
so you need to find some balance. And it's always like, do I wake up like half an hour early and give myself that? But then I'm like, I'm so tired. I need that half an hour sleep. So
kind of like
maybe you need to carve it into a day. Yeah, maybe you need to try it at lunch, even if it's just like 5 minutes of breathing.
Or even just going for a walk on your own. Like, for me, it's just about being silent and being still.
Yeah.
Like, just sitting still and like, doing nothing.
Yeah, I think I'm just really deeply overstimulated.
That's why the phone thing.
Yeah.
And like someone said about the alarm clock. So I was like, I used to obviously have my alarm on my phone.
Yeah.
So the first thing you reach for in the morning is your phone. And before you know it, you're scrolling before you've even done anything. So I really try and like not do that.
I'm going to be more Nana.
Okay, so tired of being tired was a feature on
really
site.
Enjoyed it.
Sounds like something.
A lot of takeaways. I think if you struggle with tiredness, then definitely give it a read and do the online quiz.
Do the quiz.
Love that. What have you enjoyed from Sherlock's?
I have enjoyed our food recommendation TikToks, which is you and myself. You did Notting Hill. Mm-hmm. Which essentially went viral, basically.
Had a lot of say, the girls did take, this is very savable content. Okay, guys, great.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Places to eat. I mean, who doesn't love a food recommendation? Yeah.
I was really nervous that it was going to get a lot of hate because I feel like it's one of those things where everybody's got an opinion and everybody wants to know, but anyway, it's fine.
Yeah, no, not at all. No. You can't hate on food.
Also, everyone's got an opinion, but also everyone needs to eat.
And I just feel like, look, obviously there's a version of that that you roll your eyes out when it's like a super obvious place. Like if someone's walking around London, they recommend sexy fish. You're not gonna be like, then that justifies some hate. But I'd like to think that we gave niche enough recommendations, and we did. So
Also, sometimes you don't always want niche. Like if you just don't know, like if you don't know Notting Hill,
I filmed it with Tilly, who's on our social team and who has only been in the UK for 6 months. She's Australian, and she was literally like, "This is awesome! I'm gonna run." I was just so excited about the recommendations.
I did East London.
You did, yes.
Again, I mean, I talk about Brat, I think, every other day.
Brat's unreal.
Literally my favourite restaurant in the whole of London, let alone East London.
Have you been to the Climpson Arches one?
Yes,
I have. I actually think that's cooler.
It is cooler, but I still prefer
the food's better,
prefer the food at the original.
But for those who don't know, they say Brat is a restaurant in Shoreditch, it's all kind of very open grill, like, you know, the turbot is like the star of the show, it's amazing. Yeah. But the Climpson Arches one is like a little bit further east, it's like Hackney Way, and it's kind of like eating in an outside barbecue tent. It's cool.
Yeah, very smoky. You will come out with your hair smelling like a big barbecue. But yeah, really delicious food. I just love that concept. Like you said, it's really savourable, shareable.
Yeah.
I think it's great when you're like, oh, where should I go for dinner tonight or even lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that.
I haven't been to Jolene and that was on my list and I feel like
Jolene is so good.
Oh my gosh, the queue on a Saturday, it is literally round the block.
I'm sure.
But the restaurant as well is amazing. The one in Shoreditch is just like the bakery.
Yeah.
There's an actual restaurant in Stoke Newington where you can have like really nice like luncheon. And it's a long drive from us, but it's so worth it. So many good restaurants around there, but it's really good.
Yeah.
You know where you didn't put East? Again, this is slightly more Hackney, but that I rated so highly was Cafe Cecilia.
I've not been.
Oh my God, it's so good. Max Rocher, who is the brother of Simone Rocher.
Okay.
And the food is like exceptional. We went for lunch and it was so good. Mm-hmm. I remember a kind of bread and butter custard dessert thing, which I can just still taste it. It was so good. Oh, I liked it. It was so good. So,
yeah. Yeah, I just love good food. I'm going to put that on my list.
Do.
Thank you.
Another recommendation. To a second round. And the plan is to do them with everybody in the team as well, in their respective
Well, I'm a Southeast girl, and there's quite a lot around, like, Peckham, Wareham Hill. Like, there's some really good little pockets there, so I'll definitely have to
look forward to that one.
Yeah. We're going to move on and pull out top news. I'm not sure this is hard news, is it? But let's do a bit of that.
Let's be a newsreader.
So I saw an article on The Guardian that I thought was quite fun. This is by Tim Downing, and he says, "Ball pits and bodacious pigs, my week in search of happiness and wonder." He says, "I don't want to be cynical or pessimistic, but it's difficult in such gloomy times. Can I find a way to tap into my playful side?" And he basically spends the day in London trying to have fun, in inverted commas, like old-fashioned fun. That includes going to the petting zoo. This is in Hounslow Urban Farm. There's a fetching picture of him with some enormous pigs. Then he takes himself to the seafront. He goes to Hastings in East Sussex in order to play the arcade, buy some sweets, do seasidey things, fish and chips, exactly. He also heads to play mini golf too. He also goes to the balloon museum, which I know you have done.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of strictly for children. Perhaps that's...
Oh, no, definitely not.
Well, but perhaps that's sort of the point of the article, right? That there's the sort of fun we have as kids we don't really have as adults anymore. No. And we kind of had a chat about this and we were like, okay, cool, so we'll talk about what we do for fun. And I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I do anything for fun. What does fun look like to you guys?
What does fun look like to me? I want to start horse riding again. That is my fun. Like, I really enjoyed that as a kind of like teenager. But now, I don't know, fun's hanging out with friends, but it's very much like getting a date that actually you both stuck to.
I mean, in terms of like the definition of what of those things that we kind of think are traditionally fun, I guess it's things, and if you think of that list, it's things that what are kind of, I mean, away from a screen.
Yeah.
And
they're outdoors.
They're physically interactive.
To me, it's a bit like losing your inhibition a bit and feeling a bit less like guarded and, I don't know, a bit like freer as well. You know, when you like have like a massive laughing fit with your girlfriends, you're literally just like uncontrollable, or like you go out dancing and you're so like, I don't know, you just forget everything else around you. Like, that to me, I think, is what, like, real, like, fun is. I think there's activities that I do which I really enjoy, which are kind of a really great, like, distraction from every day, or, like, I really, like, it's not cool, but I love a jigsaw puzzle.
That comes into the mindfulness conversation.
So I wouldn't say I have, like, my most fun, but I enjoy it so much. Almost like... When you are a child, I guess you're so unaware of people around you, what people are thinking, and I think it's just being almost
it's like
living
like
in
no one's watching.
Yeah, exactly. Like that kind of like inner child of like, I don't really care about what's meant to be this or meant to that or what other people are thinking, and just being a bit more free.
The one thing that I do in that respect is when it comes to holidays, my husband and I try to, when we're not beach people, we kind of get bored sitting around, and the times we have had the most fun is when we have done something that's, it doesn't have to be physically active, but again, is a bit more kind of exciting or a bit, so we love like an open top bus tour, for example, which like, again, is not cool, but when I think about when I've had fun in recent months, it's doing things like that.
Sorry, your most fun is surely when you're at the water park.
Oh, yeah, we did. In Mallorca, we went to with the Aqualand. Aqualand, And I haven't been since I was about 12.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right, we did last year. I think, fuck it, let's go to Aqualand.
I can't think of anything more fun than doing
that.
Like, I love
bit of adrenaline. And actually, when I think about, you know, gone on different holidays, and but you know, we've done white water rafting and we're looking to do that this summer, like definitely those active things. But even this, like when we were in New York at Christmas, we had a restaurant booked for our last night, and we did that a lot, and we were like, or shall we go to a basketball game and have hot dogs for supper?
And that
was fun, because I think it's just different to what you normally do, and it just feels a bit more
spontaneous and free, and like you're not kind of sticking to the normal adult rules.
That's it.
This is what we should do.
It's not playing by the by the like perfect rules.
Yeah, so exactly.
I think you're so right. Yeah.
Be more Tim Dowling and have some more fun.
Okay, finally, we're going to answer some of your questions. We've got one each. Yes. Nana, as you said before, we've kind of touched on this. Nana's morning routine, how does she fit it all in with the workouts? What time do you wake up?
I wake up at 5 a.m.
Okay.
And what time do you go to bed?
11, 12?
I guess if she doesn't need much sleep.
Yeah, I don't need much. If I will try, if I'm in, the thing is with me, I usually have an event on after work or some sort of dinner, or I'm trying to see friends or whatever. So by the time you get in, take off your makeup, get into bed, it's like 10, 11. Yeah. So yeah, 5 a.m., wake up, have half an hour to myself, a hot water and lemon, or my new discovery. Has anyone got a soda stream here?
Oh,
I don't like soda.
I had one. I got one Christmas and I was obsessed for about 6 weeks and then it broke and then I was like, okay.
What do you have in the morning with a soda stream?
I make my own homemade ginger shots, which I freeze.
Yes.
I now have, they're in like giant ice cube trays. So I have one ice cube ginger shot and then put sparkling water over it.
Okay.
And it tastes like a really healthy ginger beer.
That's just quite aggressive for 5 a.m. I don't think I'd want fizzy at that time.
I have that, but also with the hot water and lemon. Okay. So it's like balance.
Sure.
I have half an hour for myself. And then I usually 9 times out of 10 have packed my gym bag. Before, this is always how you know if I've packed my gym bag. If I'm at the gym, if I'm doing a home workout, I've not packed my gym bag.
Okay, that's the decider.
Yeah, night before, because in the morning it's just too much.
And do you work out every morning?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much. So I think the key to my routine, having a plan, essentially, like I know what classes I want to do or whether I want to run or whether I want to go and do Pilates or whatever it is. But for me, it's like the best start to the day. It sets me up. I have an hour and a half where I don't think about anything else other than the moment, the function of like running or doing weights. And for my mental health, it's
everything.
It's everything.
And how long have you done that for?
I've got maybe about 5 years.
Okay. So it's a pre-pandemic habit that you stick to.
Yeah. It's definitely pre-pandemic. Yeah, even if it's like not a morning thing, like I just think movement and exercise, I cannot recommend enough for your mental health and just like it's
again,
not.
Again, like I know I need to do it.
I need you to come and run my life. I find it so difficult because I don't enjoy it. And I was in such a good routine pre-pandemic and I've completely lost it. And now I haven't exercised in 4 years.
But I think that's also
and
the
it's
key.
Horrible, I think, what like we were saying this before, when you've left it so long, you're scared.
It becomes such a thing.
I think another thing is the key is finding something that you enjoy.
What exercise is it that you actually do?
So pretty much run some sort of running every day, but I also like cycle, I like reform Pilates. I get bored very easily, so I am constantly just mixing it up.
Sure.
Maybe you should do a class, like teach a class. I feel like that would be like, bring that sunshine and that energy.
Yeah.
We can do it here. We can get the mats out.
Yeah. I'd be down.
We're safe.
Let's go for it.
Lou, biggest misconception when it comes to your job / working in the fashion industry? I feel like we were all like, wow, have we got to say about this?
The biggest misconception is that it's incredibly glamorous and we don't work hard. We work so hard for our jobs. And obviously there's all the lovely elements of it that people see. Mm. But yeah, we work so hard. Mm. Like any job, there's, you know, there's steps that you climb to get to where you want to be. And there's really hard bits of the job that you don't love doing, but you kind of need to learn and get to grips with. And it's a hard industry, and I think it's also a very demanding industry as well. I think you need to have quite a thick skin, and there's so many elements that maybe behind closed doors people don't see so much on the outside. I think because it's all about kind of beauty and aesthetics, and it's all looks pretty and glamorous, but the work that goes into that is.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot, definitely.
This might be controversial, but I think there's an assumption that there's no money to be made in fashion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see it a lot in the TikTok comments. I know you're not supposed to read the comments, but I think there's a general misconception that everyone's wardrobes, lifestyles, I don't just mean us, but like in the industry, must be funded from elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because everybody is earning minimum wage, and that's not the case. Like, I think people should know that we're making our own money. It's an industry that after you've grafted for X amount of years, and the starting salaries obviously aren't amazing. It's not banking, it's not law, but you put in a decade and some extra.
Then you should be okay.
You should be okay. Yeah. You can buy your own clothes.
And that's, I think, really empowering. At the beginning, you do whatever you can to make it work. Like when I was at uni, I had both the loans that you could get to cover my tuition fees and my like cost of living. I then took out jobs on the side. So I worked constantly throughout being at uni so that I could, and like kind of had my things I really wanted to do, and I was like, okay, in order to do that, I will need to do X, Y, and Z. I think people think that, you know, it's been funded, we've landed in these roles, but there's a lot of work that goes into it. And if you really want it, and I think from the offset, it's not, you know, it's not like banking, there's not that those kind of figures, but equally you want to earn a wage, so you know, do everything you can to try and make that work.
And to be clear, you know, and none of us, myself, you know, I'm not trying to deny our privilege that comes as you're growing up or whatever it might be, but the idea that everybody must only be earning 30k so couldn't possibly buy a nice item to wear
isn't the case. I mean, I'm trying to self-fund a Chanel bag at the moment by doing a car boot sale, so like my thing is, like, whenever I wanted something, it was like, right, what extra job can I do? What can I sell? Yeah. Like, you just kind of, like, graft.
There's also there's something so satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, I've done, like, a really big vintage clear out and, like, made a good amount of money on it. And now I'm like, okay, what am I going to buy with that? That kind of one in, one out is really, really satisfying. And I think that kind of circular fashion. Is so, so important.
I have to start renting my wardrobe, actually. Oh. Exclusive for you all.
Ooh, waiting.
I'm going to do it on by rotation. There's a lot of stuff I don't wear, but I also don't want to get rid of. And I mean, my friends essentially rent my wardrobe because if they're going on holiday, they'll come back.
That reminds me, how do you guys feel about sharing items with friends? Like, if you were to kind of do like a joint purchase of a belt, for example.
Oh, weird.
You think weird?
Yeah. Joint purchase. Sorry, my friends can take whatever they want for my wardrobes, but I wouldn't buy something with a friend.
Okay.
Yeah, so there is that company where you can buy designer handbags together. I can't remember what it's called, but one of the girls, Nikita, find it somewhere. She does the PR for it.
I mean, if it works for you, it's just not for me.
It's like a timeshare of
belts. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But then I suppose, is it different to renting? Like, you are kind of give. Yeah, I don't know.
No, true. Sorry, I suppose I wasn't really thinking about handbags when you said that. I was thinking more about ready to wear.
No, I think it works for accessories.
Yeah,
you know, you buy the hardest belt and like you've got it for a month, I've got it for a month. Like,
quite cool. Because I think if you could just set up like a calendar, like you have one for her. I suppose, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not any different, really. No? But you're just doing it kind of.
I
like,
think it's just quite fun.
Guys, maybe there's a business idea in that.
Yeah, Or maybe we should just do it. So. Yeah. Maybe we can all fund your Chanel handbag. Yeah. Maybe that's
guys, do you want to come in?
I somehow don't see Lou with an orange. Yeah, anytime soon, but it's quite
maybe,
colourful friends,
we maybe change the colour, like the orange, the rainbow. The orange.
Then I'm in.
We'll work on it, we'll find some friends. Yeah. Guys, let's leave it there. Thanks so much. I enjoyed our new format very much. Thank you for listening. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@shillax.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget, you can ask any of the team who are going to be in the following week's podcast questions on our Instagram stories when the box goes live. And do head to the Shillax community as well, community.shillax.com, where you can ask questions there too. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.